You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by the MLB.com Shop.
Welcome into MLB.com Extras Dodgers. Matt Waymeyer with Jeff Nelson and Nelly. The LA Dodgers, the two-time defending NL West champions, but a team that's going to have a very different look to them in 2015.
Yeah, absolutely, and I still feel the favorite in the NL West. Up the middle, they've done a great job. You know, they acquire Rollins, a good veteran leader and a good player. He can still play at shortstop. And, you know, Howie Kendrick, I think he's an underrated player for the Angels, and he just goes over and stays in the same state, goes to the Dodgers, a good up the middle combination, a good hitter as well in that lineup. You know, Friedman's gone, and he's looked at these contracts. You had an overabundance of outfielders. You trade Kemp. You have to make some people happy. And it all starts with, okay, let's, you know, weed out some of these guys. And he's done a great job so far.
New Dodgers general manager Andrew Friedman's been a very busy man. Let's hear his thoughts on the Dodgers' hot stove season thus far.
Andrew, I know a lot of these trades were kind of, you know, linked together. Could you kind of take us through the process of getting all these deals done?
Oh, I'm not sure where to begin. Obviously, starting in the middle of October, we had a lot of dialogue with different teams, and we had specific targets that we wanted to try to figure out different ways to acquire, and you know, throughout the various conversations we had, you know, we saw a scenario, I don't know, 10 days ago, 2 weeks ago, where there was real potential to kind of line up on a number of these fronts. And you know, our overarching goal coming into the offseason was to take a very strong collection of players and do our best to mold it into a highly functioning baseball team. And so we feel like, you know, these moves, speak to that. And, we're excited about the way that our position player group fits together, how they complement one another. And we feel like we've got great length to our lineup with great balance as well.
Did everything kind of start with a Kemp deal, and did you guys kind of work from there?
It's still fluid, and there's so many conversations back and forth. It's really hard to pinpoint, I think, the anatomy of a deal. There's so many ebbs and flows to it that it's really hard to
Did you have any concern at all yesterday, Andrew, when some of the medical stuff sort of leaked out on Kemp, that it could be jeopardized as well as, you know, the other trade as well?
I mean, for the most part, we were reading it like everyone else, and you know, we obviously know Matt's health history well, and Stan Conte and Dr. Eletroth, our guys know him incredibly well, and so we weren't worried.
Did you leave it with any, are you sore at all with the way it went down in terms of the way San Diego sort of conducted it?
I mean, I don't think it's ideal for anyone ever to have these things be incredibly public. Yeah. But, I think both of us got the outcome that we wanted. It's rarely a straight line to get there in these types of deals.
Can you just talk briefly about what into the decision making behind letting players like Hanley Ramirez and Matt Kemp and Dee Gordon go?
All very different. I mean, obviously Hanley was a free agent. With Hanley, obviously a tremendous amount of respect for what he can do in the batter's box. You know, for us going forward, we didn't feel like him playing shortstop put us in the best position. And, obviously we have depth in other positions, so it just made it more difficult for us, to fit him, but he's an incredibly gifted, offensive player. With D, he's a dynamic player and something that when you get talent back, you obviously have to give up something. And so, you know, it wasn't easy for us to trade D. Again, he brought a dynamic to our lineup that, you know, we're certainly going to miss. But we felt like, you know, the net result of that trade and the subsequent moves made sense for us. With Matt, you know, obviously an incredibly gifted offensive player. I think the whole world saw what he's capable of in the second half of the season. You know, again, this just gets back to us doing everything we could to, you know, mold our roster into those highly functioning baseball team as opposed to a collection of talent. And so, you know, we obviously had conversations down a lot of different paths, and at the end of the day, we felt like this was the one that put us in the best position to win. But we have a great deal of respect for what Matt can do in the batter's box, and you know, I know how much he's meant to this organization looking back, and you know, we wish him nothing but the best.
Andrew, when you go back to October, talking about those specific targets that you were trying to acquire, how many of them have you gotten, and there's still some out there that you're going to be trying to get?
Yeah, I mean, there are targets that, you know, we identified and like in a vacuum, and then there are targets that fit more specifically in terms of positions that we were looking to acquire. And so obviously that's a little bit different. And we had some specific areas that we wanted to address. You know, we wanted to figure out how to get someone to pair with AJ behind the plate. We wanted to figure out what we were going to do at shortstop. And so, obviously, Yasmani and Jimmy were very high on our list.
Andrew, do you still hope to trade another outfielder?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
Do you still hope to trade one more outfielder?
Oh, I think it was really important for us coming into the offseason to trade one. And now I think it's just we're open-minded to different scenarios that make us a better team, whether it's an outfielder or somewhere else. We're just now in kind of a mode of being opportunistic and, you know, continuing to, you know, target guys that we like and we feel like fit us. And what that means and how that plays out, I don't know right now.
It sounds like you're about to have five starting pitchers. Does that take you out of, you know, the pursuit of any, you know, big name free agent starting pitchers at this point?
No, I mean, I think the not having any hard and fast rules, I think our mindset is always to be open-minded and opportunistic and figure out if anything lined up that we feel like makes sense for us. And obviously things happen throughout the course of an off season that change the definition of that some. But it doesn't necessarily change our mindset. It just could change whether or not at the end of the day we feel like something makes sense or not.
Can you talk about how the acquisitions of Rollins and Kendrick, how they improved the team offensively and defensively and also with intangibles as well?
Yeah. I'm sensitive to lumping them in together, but just for both, you know, dynamic players on both sides of the ball. You know, Jimmy, you know, fits us incredibly well. You know, he really brings some grit to our team and is obviously very experienced in playing baseball in October. You know, he still has a lot of life in his body, switch hitter, good defender, and, you know, he adds that element of speed to our lineup that we were looking for. With Howie, you know, I talked about him last week, but you know, also very gifted on both sides of the ball. You know, the off-field kind of right-center approach we feel like fits our ballpark well. The offensive profile, you know, the kind of bat-to-ball approach we feel like fits well within the context of our roster. Obviously a lot of experience playing in October as well. and we feel like we just our middle infield is a real strength for us in 2015.
Andrew, do you agree that you may be taking somewhat of a step back offensively to improve defensively? And if so, is there something about the climate in the game right now where you thought that was kind of the way to go?
No, I mean, again, we approached this without any hard and fast rules, and it wasn't necessarily that we had to become a better defensive team or not. It was just that whatever path we went down, we wanted things to sync up and make sense at the end of the day and not go one direction and then go a different direction and cannibalize something that we had done previously. There's no question we're going to be significantly better defensively. I think it's going to help on the run prevention side quite a bit. And I'm not ready to say right now that we're not going to be as good of an offensive team. I want to spend more time on it. I think our team home run total maybe less, but I think we have a very deep lineup with real length to it, 1 through 8, with really good balance with switch hitters and right-left balance, and guys coming off the bench that fit in very well with some of our starters, that I think we're going to have a good offensive team.
Can you talk a little bit more about second base? Because it seemed pretty much that you gave up a young all-star for an older one, which doesn't really seem to jive with what we've been told, that you kind of like players that are under control financially. So there must be something in one player's game that you like better than the other player's game. Maybe you could go into that a little bit.
No, I mean, I think what you said is fair from a, overarching, in a vacuum standpoint. But then obviously you have to apply real-life players to it in real-life scenarios. And, we felt like the trade that we made with the Marlins fit us really well. We probably would not have done it without backfilling it with Howie. They're both really good players in different ways. But we felt like the trade we made with the Marlins added some much-needed depth for us.
Andrew, how aware were you of I'll call it a mini panic amongst Dodger fans if this Matt Kemp deal didn't go through. And how are you feeling about that in the process in the last few days?
Again, just knowing Matt and our medical people who obviously know him incredibly well, I really wasn't that worried. It may have taken a little bit longer to play out than I would have liked personally, but such is life. The Padres obviously had a lot going on, and they had organizational meetings. So, those things happen. But, again, from a physical standpoint, we weren't worried.
Andrew, on the surface, it doesn't seem like you got as much talent back as Matt Kemp has shown on the field in that deal. How do you respond to that?
Look, we feel like Yasmani fits us incredibly well. He and AJ will complement one another really well. He's a switch hitter with above average power. We really like the quality of his at bats and how he grinds opposing pitchers. He's got very strong defensive tools. And we're excited about him working with Steve Yeager to continue to bring that to life on a nightly basis. Again, finding catcher stops, those things are incredibly difficult to access. There's a real scarcity in the game, and we feel like we just added a young catcher who fits us incredibly well and hopefully will be a big part of our future success.
Andrew, you gave up a pretty highly regarded pitching prospect to the Angels for what is, I guess, 1 year of Kendrick. Do you need to sign him to an extension to really make that work for you?
No, I mean, I think we are excited to have Howie, and there's a lot of different ways that it can play out, but we're excited to have him. I think you know, all of our focus right now is on the 2015 season, and assuming that things play out well and how he likes it here, then I'm sure this conversation will happen at some point. But again, it didn't necessarily have to line up ahead of time, because, you know, it's a fine line when you're doing what you can to put yourself in the best position to win in 2015, while also being mindful of, you know, future years. But, you know, again, our mindset, you know, our kind of guiding light is how to put ourselves in the best position to be as good as we can be next year, while also being very mindful of future years. And we feel like we've added some depth to the organization and some good young players, and we feel like we've gotten significantly, you know, better up the middle and deeper on both sides of the ball.
Andrew, I know you weren't worried about Matt Kemp's physical standing in the way of getting that deal done, but how much did his long-term health add to your desire to move his contract?
I mean, I think there are risks with all players, especially in their 30s. I don't necessarily think it's any more or any less. Obviously, I haven't been around him on a daily basis, but from what I understand, he works hard, does everything he can to kind of prepare himself for a season and for the grind of a season. And so I don't think anyone's smart enough to say how things will play out in the future, but you know, we added a guy behind the plate who we feel like we're going to get his prime years over the next four. That certainly played a role in our thought process.
Andrew, when you talk about being better defensively up the middle, are you envisioning Jock as the center fielder?
I don't know yet. You know, I think we'll take some time in spring training and assess that, you know, get a feel for him in camp and how he's handling things, and it'll be a discussion that we'll have with the staff, and I'm sure it will be an ongoing discussion from now through the last game in March.
If Jock isn't the center fielder, who would your center fielder be?
I mean, my guess is Puig would play there a decent amount. Ethier, Kike Hernandez, Chris Heisey. We have different guys that can go out there. So we'll have to figure it out.
Andrew, it's been over a week since the end of the winter meetings. How do you look at this process being unusual with all these unofficial deals that still haven't been announced yet?
You mean during the last week until it was announced yesterday or last night?
Yeah.
It's awkward. You know, sometimes these things take time, but you know, just not knowing for sure how things were going to play out, you still have to be mindful of different things that if for whatever reason the deal fell apart. And it's a little crippling in that sense, just not being able to fully move forward and focus on what you need to, but that's what happens in these situations, and trades are certainly not easy to make. It just probably preoccupied us a little bit more than you ideally would like if it happened more seamlessly.
Kemp was obviously one of the more popular players here. Did that give you any pause at all, you know, in going through with the trade?
Sure. I mean, he was a really popular player because of how gifted he is offensively. We get it. Had a lot of respect for what he can do in the batter's box. And, again, you know, you have to give up talent to get talent. And we felt like, you know, this put us in a position to be a better baseball team. And so that was our focus, and
but nothing that we've done in the last 2 months have we done lightly.
You aware the fans will hate you if it doesn't work out?
Not any more than we will hate ourselves. Look, all of us are focused on winning, and the fans' passion is tremendous, and I'm looking forward to experiencing electricity in the building next year, and I love the passion that they have for the Dodgers, and everything we're doing is in the vein of trying to put ourselves in the best position to make it to October and then play as long as we possibly can.
You surprised at the extent that the Padres have changed?
I'm sorry, say that again?
Are you surprised at the extent to which the Padres have changed their roster?
Yeah, I mean, certainly, I think they had internal meetings about adding right-handed power. That's my takeaway. Obviously, they've added a lot of right-handed power, but obviously it wasn't a very, very funny joke. But, they've been aggressive. I think when AJ got hired, I think the expectation was that they were going to be aggressive. And, we have four teams in this division that are incredibly well-run and that we're very mindful of everything that they're doing all the time.
Do you guys have any interest in Scherzer at all, or can you see you having any interest in him?
I cannot speak to free agent players.
Can you say a few thoughts about your just decision-making and letting Dan Heron go?
Yeah, I mean, again, it kind of gets to, ideally we'd like to acquire good players and not give up any good players, but unfortunately that's not how it works, and so we had certain players that we felt like fit us really well, and in those conversations, the Marlins had some pretty good scouts on us and went to good players from us as well, and we just felt like when the dust settled that we would be in a position to be a better team. And that's one of the things that allows deals to get done. It's all 30 teams are kind of approaching it from a different angle in terms of existing roster and other subsequent moves that they can make. And so it's what allows you to line up and make trades. But obviously Danny is a pro. Very talented right-handed pitcher that we're going to miss. But obviously we've added guys behind it that we feel like also will help us win games next year.
Is there an area of the roster that you feel like you need to address between now and spring training, or do you feel like this could be the group that you bring to Camelback?
I don't think we're ever going to get to a point where we say, okay, let's sit back and put our feet on the desk. We're always going to be looking at different areas, and whether it's on the margins or more significant. But I think any time you ask me this question, the bullpen will always be an answer that I'll give. I think it's against my nature to ever feel comfortable with a bullpen in the off season, and it's so difficult to predict year to year, that it's something that we'll continue to be, mindful of and thinking through.
Andrew, is it safe to say that you have some unfinished business with the Phillies?
How so?
Yes. Andrew, could you clarify something about Scherzer? You can't talk about him, or you do not want to talk about him?
I cannot speak to free agent players.
Do you see Grandal as a catcher who can catch 120 games in a season, or is he going to be more of a split with AJ, do you think?
I don't know how many yet, and we'll get into camp and kind of feel that out and talk through it with the staff, but definitely see him behind the plate and being a guy that that can really help a team on both sides of the ball.
Is his drug history a concern of yours at all?
Yeah, I mean, obviously we've done a lot of work on his makeup and understanding him, and you know, we've got with us with Josh and others that have spent a lot of time around him, which certainly helps. I think with any deal we make, we spend a tremendous amount of time getting into the makeup and trying to understand the player as best we can. So I think we have a good feel for Yasmani and feel like he's going to fit us well on the field and off the field going forward.
And from what you guys understand, how has he changed as a player, if at all, since he, in theory, stopped using?
What do you mean, how has he changed?
Well, has he changed at all as a player? I mean, how, you know, his physical attributes, you know, things he can and can't do on the field?
I mean, he's still a switch hitter with above average power that's good on both sides of the ball.
Is he slightly closer to average?
We think he's a really good player. I don't know what to tell you.
Is pitch framing some kind of like top secret thing, or can you talk about? Because he does rate high with some of those. You know, it's been written about a little bit. How much did that mean to you with him?
It means quite a bit. I mean, it's not top secret. I think, very simply said, it's a guy's ability to hold a strike. I think, as opposed to certain guys who may take a strike out of the zone with the way they receive it, you know, the guys with soft hands that can stick pitches just put our pitchers in better position to get into the favorable counts that from when they're in rookie ball our pitching coaches are stressing.
Andrew, you tend to go young before. What about the second and the second base and shortstop age factor now and how that fits into what you like to do?
I'm sorry, say the beginning part. I didn't hear the beginning part.
Well, as far as in the past, you, it looks like you always wanted to go young and obviously whatever the contract situation fit. But now you got two older guys at second and short. How does that fit in the way that you tend to want to do things?
Well, I mean, I think it's more about evaluating players individually. I think, you know, our macro goal can be one thing, but we're not going to make every single decision with that in mind. If we feel like that makes it more likely that we're not as good as we otherwise could be. And so I think the overall theme and mindset will be to continue to integrate young players onto our roster and not get into a position where we have a bunch of 30-something-year-old players on long-term contracts and kind of writing down the backside of their career. You know, obviously, Jimmy's on a one-year deal, and he's older by age, but his body doesn't show it, and he's still got a lot of life to the body. He stole a lot of bases last year and still played above average defense. And, you know, those are the things that you worry about as players age, is their foot speed and athleticism and body control, and all those things are still really good with Jimmy.
Did Don tell you at all that at some point that he'd like to improve the clubhouse chemistry? And was that how important was that in some of these moves?
I mean, obviously, we've talked a lot in going through a lot of the pros as he sees things and other areas that he felt like weren't as strong. And I think, you know, that's the case with all 30 teams in baseball, that there's certain things that a team does well in other areas where they struggle more, and it's about, you know, trying to improve upon your weaknesses without giving up your strength, or at least without giving up much of it. And so, you know, I think defensively,
Yeah, I think defense was certainly a focus of ours. We've had a number of guys with good bat-to-ball skills and guys that have experience playing in October. So I don't know if it was simple. I don't know if it was as simple as any one thing that can sum up the various moves that we made.
That's Japanese.
That's not Japanese. It's Korean. Korean.
It's Korean.
Tell him. Answer him.
Tell him.
Andrew, with Austin Barnes, the center behind the plate with you guys, and similarly.
I can't hear you. I'm sorry. Start over.
With Austin Barnes, is his future behind the plate with you guys, or do you see him moving around a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the things that was most intriguing to us is his potential behind the plate. But we also like what a good athlete he is and the fact that he can kick out and play second and third. You know, we'll obviously bring him to camp with the pitchers and catchers and get a chance to be around him a lot more. But I would say that the thing that probably most attracted us to him was his ability behind the plate.
Andrew, from the first day that you came here and looked over the team and what you wanted to do, how would you assess what you've done to this point?
I don't know. I don't feel like we've been able to slow the game down enough to kind of, you know, post-mortem the last 2 months. It's obviously been the off-season's been a kind of a frenetic pace. And so my sense is that we won't really be able to slow things down until we get to spring training and are able to kind of look back on the offseason and assess things.
And one of those new acquisitions by the Dodgers this offseason is second baseman Howie Kendrick. Let's hear from him right now.
Before we get started, guys, I just want to say how proud I am and how happy I am to be a part of this Dodger family here. My family, myself included, just, you know, great organization, played against this organization for a long time. And, you know, it's just definitely great to be a part of this and a part of the history that the Dodgers have. And hopefully we can make some more history.
Is that an early playoff beard?
Is an early playoff beard? You know, I've been growing this since the middle of last season. And you know, I like beards and just decided to keep it. You know, my wife was asking me if I was going to shave it before I came. And I was like, you know what? I got to be me and I'm going to keep it. So I go through different phases where I grow my hair out, where I grow my beard, where I shave it. It just depends on how I'm feeling. I mean, you can see me with any type of facial hair. So
how you played for the Angels for a long time? What were your emotions when you found out you had been traded?
You know what? I've been in trade talks for, you know, a long time. I think ever since I've been an Angel at the major league level, almost every year, you know, almost from Miguel Cabrera 1 year. And, you know, it just seems like every year it's something different. Over time, you kind of, you know, you learn how to deal with it. I think the more and more it happens and you just start to get used to it a little more. And when nothing ever happens, you know, you just kind of like, oh, well, it didn't happen. So you learn to ignore the trade talks until you receive that call from your agent or from your GM saying you've been traded. This offseason, it was like, hey, okay, we're not trading them. And then it was the year I got traded. But it was one of those things where going from an organization that's the only one I knew for 12 years that helped me grow, helped me become the player that, you know, other guys were trying to trade for. I mean, I have a lot of respect for that organization, a lot of heartfelt moments with the Angel organization. But, you know, sometimes you move on from that. And I think the biggest thing for me is I'm coming to another organization that, you know, is a great organization to play for. That's a championship caliber organization. And when you move from a winning team and going to another winning team, that says a lot. And I think the transition over here has gone a lot smoother. And just from the people I've met, it's been a great experience. So hopefully, you know, this year I can go out and help our team make some more great memories and great experiences.
How about not having to move and all that goes with the
regular everyday life to make things easier for you?
You know, that definitely makes it a lot easier. You know, I live in Arizona, and spring training in Arizona is huge. My little boy just started school, so he gets to stay in school, and, you know, we don't have to move somewhere else, you know, going over to Florida. I grew up in Florida. Nothing against Florida. Don't really want to go back to Florida. But I love the West Coast. You know, I've kind of grown accustomed to being out of this side of town. And, you know, I don't think you can ask for anything better. Great weather, great teams, great baseball. And for me and my family, it was just a great move. You know, it's definitely easy. Just, you know, we rented in Anaheim every year just because of the fact that I've almost been traded every year. So, you know, it'd be an easy transition. We'll probably try to find a place up here somewhere and, you know, settle in and get back to playing baseball.
Howie, how much of a conversation have you had so far with the Dodgers front office as far as the culture and what they're trying to do here with this new regime and the new regime that you're going to be a part of?
You know what? Andrew Friedman actually called me, and he was with Tampa Bay for a long time, so he saw me play for quite a few years. And, you know, he was one of the first people I spoke to the day I got traded. Right after Jerry DePoto called me, Andrew called me and said, "Hey, man, we're happy to have you. You know, I've been admiring your game for a long time, you know, with Tampa Bay." And, you know, Joe Maddon spoke very highly of me, too. And I've known Joe from when his time with the Angels also. And Andrew called me. I spoke to Lon today and a couple other guys. Spoke with Magic also. And the organization, like I said, speaks for itself. What the Dodgers have been trying to do and what they have been doing over the past 4 or 5 years, you know, it's mainly in the past 3 to 4 years getting, you know, all the pieces here. You know, the contract extension with Kershaw, signing Greinke. I mean, those are big pieces. Those guys know how to play the game, and I've played against these guys for a long time, so I understand, you know, they go after the game. They get after it, you know, Puig, all those guys, Adrian Gonzalez, and I've known Andre. I came up playing Andre. So, you know, I definitely know coming in here there's a lot of guys that work hard and want to win, and I think that's what's important, playing the game right and winning baseball. You know what, Jimmy is great out on the field. I've never played with him, but I've seen him play. And, you know, I've been a fan of his for a while, just from watching him on ESPN over the years, you know, his MVP season. You know, he's my era. You know, when I was a young guy in the minor leagues and stuff, you know, you watch guys like that. You know, you're excited to see guys like that play. And actually to be his teammate is going to be even more fun, you know, to be able to turn double plays up the middle. I think spring training is going to be huge as far as getting in and, you know, getting comfortable with how he plays the game.
I think it'll be weird just having someone turn double plays, but that's not Eric Ivar.
Yeah, me and Eric been together since double A, so that it will be different, but, you know, that's the game. I mean, you got to learn to adjust and adapt to different people. And, you know, I'm going to miss Eric. I mean, that's like, he's like a brother to me, you know, having that chemistry with him up the middle. I mean, how can you forget that? But at the same time, you know, things have changed, and, you know, you got to make that chemistry with another guy.
How would you describe how the juices are flowing in a different way right now at this stage of the career to have a fresh start like this?
You know what? Baseball is baseball. I think, you know, once we get out on the field and start playing the game, it's going to be the same game. I mean, obviously, I'm in a different league. You know, I got to learn some of the pitchers, but, you know, everybody's still got to throw it over the plate. You got to throw strikes. You got to make plays on defense. And, you know, you're going to have to do those things to win ball games. And as long as you win, I think everything else happens. You know, it'll take care of itself. And when you're having fun and winning, that's even better.
Have you guys talked at all about beyond this season, you know, with Friedman? And would you be open to something like that?
You know, I haven't really thought much about it. You know, I will be a free agent at the end of this year. But, you know, I think my main focus right now is trying to get in and get to work. You know, I haven't really thought much about the contract stuff. I never have. You know, I just kind of go out and play baseball. And, you know, that's part of the game, and every guy wants that. But at the same time, you know, I just want to go out and play the game, play it right, and win. And if you do those things, you know, all that other stuff will take care of itself.
What about prior to the trade? Did you envision yourself retiring as an Angel, or were you looking forward to free agency and maybe testing the market?
You know, that would have been cool, but at the same time, you know, you never know what the game's going to throw you or what life's going to throw you. And, you know, in that situation, I understood what the Angels were trying to do. They, you know, they needed pitching, and every time somebody called to talk to them, it was about me. You know, so I knew at some point, you know, it was going to be one of those things where, you know, if they got the right offer, I'd probably be moving. And, you know, luckily enough for me, it was a crosstown team. So, you know, and like I got asked earlier, you know, it feels good to be able to go up the freeway and not really have to change much, you know, in the family aspect of things. And then playing baseball, I still get to be in great weather. You know, I'm still on a great team.
How you elevated your game offensively? More hits, walk rate was up. Other than old-fashioned hard work, what do you credit that to?
Experience. You know, the more you play, the more reps you get over time. You know, going from a younger player to being a little more seasoned and experiencing a lot more in the game, the struggles, you know, going through those hard times, knowing that that's going to change, I think that helps you out a lot, knowing that, hey, man, I don't have to panic right now. You know, I just need to keep playing the game. You're going to have those rough spells, but it's how you deal with them mentally and have the ability to move past them and know that, hey, I can play this game. Then you trust yourself more and you allow those things to happen. You know, slumps are going to be a part of the game. It's just, what do you do to recover from it?
Have you spoken with Mattingly yet? And anything you could share there?
He actually called me the very next day after I got traded over. And, you know, I've played against Mattingly when he was with the Yankees. You know, he was over there, man, or I think he was the bench coach over there. And, you know, so I've seen him a few times and played against him for quite a few years. And, you know, he just basically called me and told me, welcome to the team. And basically have a lot of guys here that work hard, and, you know, he's excited to have me.
How have you talked to Sean Pickens or any of the other guys playing for the Dodgers that you played with about
that game? I haven't really talked to Sean, but, you know, one of the guys that's here, he was a bullpen catcher here last year, Steven Salati. You know, I've been working out in Arizona over at physiotherapy for about 8 years now, and I've known Steven for quite a while, and he's been with the Dodger organization for a long time. And then John Eli is another guy that comes in. So, you know, I've got some experience with some of the guys. So I've been able to ask them some questions. You know, one of my wife's main concerns was the kids' room. But, you know, I hear from Mark Ellis and some of the other guys that it's probably one of the best they've ever experienced. So, you know, that makes me feel good that my kids and my wife are going to be comfortable. And, you know, it's always different coming to another organization. But so far, I can tell you that I've been impressed with everything that I've seen, everyone that I've talked to. And, you know, the team's already in a great spot, so I don't really have to worry about direction.
Is there much of a transition switching from facing American League pitchers to National League, or within the league play, does that matter much anymore?
You know, I'm pretty sure there will be some, but, you know, like I said, it's just about hitting the ball. You know, you're going to have to get strikes to hit. I don't think they can reinvent the way the ball breaks or what pitches they're doing. You know, guys are going to sink it. They're going to cut it, change-ups, sliders. You know, it's just, I think it's just going to be another transition to get used to seeing different guys. But I think once you experience them and you see them, I think that'll, you know, that'll work itself out a little bit.
Now, another part of your game that's elevated is your defense. Can you talk about what you've done to elevate that and just how much pride you take in your defense?
Yeah, I think that's the part of my game I work the hardest at, just because coming up, you know, that's all you hear. Oh, he's an average defender, or, you know, you can't do this or you can't do that. I think I like to try to prove people wrong in that aspect. You know, and I haven't really been afraid to make mistakes. You know, if you make mistakes being aggressive, I can live with that. But if I'm passive and make mistakes, I can't really live with that because, you know, I'm leaving something out on the field. I think the biggest thing is just to go at the game and let it happen and just play hard. You know, if I can live with myself at the end of the day, knowing that I gave everything I had, then, you know, that's enough for me. You know, you're not really out there trying to impress anybody else. You want to impress yourself.
Howie, although it's changing hourly, it seems, is there any National League pitchers that you're really looking forward to facing?
You know what? I just play. You know, honestly, I don't care who's throwing, to be honest with you. I mean, that day, you know, you might get the best of me, I might get the best of you. You know, going from facing guys like Felix, you know, you see Kershaw, we face him in interleague. I mean, you don't get much better than those guys. And, you know, you just invite it and welcome to the challenge, you know, of facing tough pitching. Those are the games you want to play your best in. And, you know, the league, I mean, every guy in the major league has the potential to be great. So any guy can go out, you know, you can be facing a number five and he can get the best of you. But, you know you're going to go out the next day and play again. I think that's one of the best things about what we do is, you know, even though you might have a rough day the first day, you know, you can go back the second day and have an even better one. So it's not about just that one day. You know, one day doesn't win you a series.
Very busy offseason for the L.A. Dodgers, and Nelly, at least on paper, are they still the team to beat in the West?
Yeah, absolutely. By adding, you know, Howie Kendrick and also Rollins, you're adding, you know, a good lineup, good offense in that lineup, and also good defense. You know, you added Brandon McCarthy, you add to that rotation behind Kershaw, Ryu, and Greinke, and their bullpen. You know, they get Peralta from the Rays, so they're still a solid team, probably the favorite in that NL West, so they've done a great job. Andrew Friedman's done what he had to do, looked at the contracts, looked at the abundance of players that they have and said, you know what, we can revamp but still stay the favorite in the National League.
For Jeff Nelson, I'm Matt Waymire. Thanking you for joining us for MLB.com Extras Dodgers.
Celebrate the holidays with the official online shop of Major League Baseball, the MLB.com shop. Give the gift of baseball to the whole family with jerseys, caps, outerwear, menswear, women's and kids' wear, collectibles, and home decor. MLB.com has gifts for all the baseball fans on your list, now with free ground shipping on all orders over $50. Do your holiday shopping now at MLB.com/shop.